Our scripture reading is found in the Old Testament in the book of Numbers. Numbers is the fourth book in the Bible, and it's the last chapter, Numbers chapter 36. If you'd like to turn.
Oh, okay.
Take that back, Numbers chapter 35. No, sorry. Numbers chapter 35, second to the last chapter in the book. And we're going to read verses 9 through 11. Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 11. When you get there, say amen.
Amen.
Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there." May the Lord bless the reading of his word.
Amen. Amen. Very powerful song. I'm learning to lean on Jesus.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that special music. How many of you are glad to be in the house of the Lord this morning?
Glory.
Amen.
How many of you are thankful that he is who he is?
Yes.
Hallelujah. That's right. I'm learning to lean on Jesus. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Old Testament, the fourth book of the Bible, I believe. Third book, I guess. Fourth book of the Bible. Numbers chapter 35. And we're going to read a little bit further on. So I'm going to invite you to turn to Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 15. I had meant to send Jeremy all this information on Thursday, but things began to happen. You know, Michael told me, he said, "Daddy, anytime you have to preach, something major is happening." Something major is going on. It's hard to focus. But this week, despite all the things that have happened, I have a lot to praise God for.
Amen.
So I like to apologize to our members here who thought I wasn't coming. I was running a little late. Let's read this. Numbers chapter 35, verses 9 through 15. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when you cross the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall appoint cities to be cities of refuge for you, that the manslayer who kills any person accidentally may flee there. There shall be cities of refuge for you for the avenger, that the manslayer may not die until he stands before the congregation in judgment. And of the cities which you give, you shall appoint three cities on this side of the Jordan and three cities in the land of Canaan, which shall be cities of refuge. These cities shall be for refuge for the children of Israel, for the stranger, and for anyone who kills a person accidentally may flee there." The hiding place. Shall we bow our heads for prayer? Dear God, our strong tower. Dear God, our mighty strong hand. Our wheel in the middle of the wheel. You have proven yourself over and over and over and over again to us. We humbly come before you to say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you. Thank you for your protection. Thank you. Thank you for your mercy and grace. Thank you. We ask you to forgive us for all of our sins and our iniquities. Please provide for us spiritually, mentally, physically, and financially. Help us to be your witnesses by what we do, not just by what we say. Today, during this divine sacred worship hour, usher our hearts and our minds into that most sacred secret place where only you dwell, where only you reign, and where only your royal sovereignty and mercy exists. Please, for this brief moment in time, insulate us from our worries, our cares, our responsibilities. Let your manservant only speak the words which you employ and divinely, and your divine will may permit. We thank you for hearing and answering our prayers. Amen?
Amen.
And amen. Well before the days of antiquity, well after the days of the flood, God began to reintroduce himself to the consciousness of mankind. This began with the self-introduction to Abraham, or Abram, rather, in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Let's look that up. Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. When you say it, please say amen. Genesis chapter 12, first book of the Bible, 12th chapter of the Bible. And the Lord had said to Abram, get out of your country, from your family and from your family and from your father's house, to a land which I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Five chapters later, Genesis chapter 17, verse 4, God said, I am Almighty God. Walk uprightly before me and be blameless. And I will make my covenant between me and you. I will multiply your seed exceedingly. The scripture says that Abram fell on his face and he talked with God. And he's saying, for me, my covenant is with you. You shall be a father of many nations. He said, no longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be called Abraham. Through his son Isaac and his great grandson Jacob, God keeps his promises. Despite years of captivity, God kept his promises. Through horrific plagues and backsliding, God kept his promises.
Amen.
After their exodus from Egypt, God kept his promises. Despite 40 years of disobedience and wandering through the wilderness, God kept his promises.
Amen.
With a covering of an enormous cloud to protect him from the scorching heat during the day, and a pillar of fire for protection and heat at night, God kept his promises.
Amen.
God continually introduces himself to the children of Israel, to all of mankind, as the desire of all ages, as the everlasting hope, as the rock of ages, and as a shelter in a time of storm. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
Even at the beginning of Israel's entrance into the promised land, on the eve of the death of Moses, on the proclamation that their new leader would be Joshua, God continued to shield them, to protect them, to insulate, to guide them, and to provide them supernatural strength, because this was no standing army. They were refugees. They were marauders. They were wanderers in the wilderness. They had no armament. They had no horses, no chariots. But they had a God.
Yes.
A God of the desert.
Amen.
And he had a reputation. He had a reputation that preceded them, mm-hmm, and a reputation that followed them.
Amen.
Please note that this people, this same people who 40 years earlier had two spies who went to the same land, to the same place, to the same point that they were supposed to cross, came back to the point that their ancestors visited 40 years ago. And at this time, everybody kept their mouth shut. When they asked the question, shall we cross over? There were doubts, but they kept their mouth shut. There was fear and trepidation, but they kept their mouth shut. No one spoke up and said, oh no, I'm not gonna believe. They kept their mouth shut. Sometimes it's best to what? Hold your tongue.
Yeah. Yeah.
My mother used to say, my mother still says, if you have nothing good to say, then say nothing at all.
Yeah.
For 6 days, the tribes of Israel marched around Jericho. For 6 days, they did according to what God has said. If you read the scriptures, it said, first came the warriors, then came 7 priests blowing their trumpets. Then came the Ark of the Covenant, carried by the priests. And at last you had volunteer army, not drafted. God don't want to pull somebody in. He don't want to have to procure or arm hold anybody to do anything for his service. But it was a regular standing volunteer army. And each tribe walked under their standard, under the flag of their tribe. But on the 7th day, they marched around the city 7 times. And I can imagine the people of Jericho said, what are these people doing? But after a period of silence, the trumpet sounded and the walls fell. You got to understand, fortresses of cities were made by walls. They're made by walls. If you go to Western Europe and Eastern Europe, there's a lot of cities that are surrounded by gates and walls. If you ever have a chance to go to Buckingham Palace, it's surrounded by a huge wall in the middle of the city. If you go to the Palace of Versailles, it's surrounded by a huge wall. If you ever go to Prague, a lot of the artifacts and a lot of the palaces are surrounded by a huge wall. God wants to be your wall.
Amen.
Between you and trouble.
Yes.
God wanted the Israelites to know that they had not gained victory by any of their own power. This conquest had solely and wholly been by the Lord's. It was impressed upon Israel that their conquest of Canaan, listen to this, was not a fight for themselves, but they were simply instruments to execute the will of God. Not to seek riches or self-exaltation, but the glory of God, Jehovah himself. This is taken from Patriarchs and Prophets, page 491. God's purpose was that they should be a strong religious or spiritual power in the world, not a political nation like others. But by their godly influence, they could help stop the influence of evil around the globe. Their government was supposed to be a theocracy. Do you know what a theocracy is? A theocracy is a government that is ruled and formed by God. There's no parliament because they're God.
Yeah, that's right.
There's no House of Representatives because there is God. And when you are the subject and owned by God, there's nothing to worry about.
Amen.
God had planned that this people should not conquer only the nations in the land, but have even greater influence upon those who just view them and see them. God told them that they would do this only, if only, they will keep all his commandments which I have given you. Let's look up Deuteronomy chapter 11. Deuteronomy chapter 11, the next book over, verse 22. Deuteronomy chapter 11, verse 22. Once you have it, please say amen.
Amen.
For if you carefully keep all these commandments which I've commanded you to do, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all his ways, and to hold fast to him, then the Lord will drive out all nations from before you, and you will dispossess greater and mightier nations than yourselves. Every place on which the sole of your foot, check this out, that means every place that you walk, every door that you go into, Every time you have an interview or a disagreement, every place that you walk into, I got to make it plain.
Yes.
On the sole of your feet that you tread, the fear of you upon all the land where you tread, just as he has said to you. That's an awesome blessing. Behold, I set you today a blessing and a curse. The blessing, if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and the curse if you do not obey the commandments of the Lord your God. This promise still exists. This covenant still exists. The conditions of this covenant have not changed. Malachi chapter 3 says, I am God, and I change not. We can't get it twisted nor forget it. He is the same yesterday and today. His love is everlasting.
Amen.
After crossing the Jordan River, each tribe was given territory and responsibilities. The tribe of Levi was charged with taking care of the custody of God's law, the Ark of the Covenant, the sanctuary vessels, and the teaching instruments and ordinances. At this point, you would think they're set. They have finally reached Canaan's land. They're set. They finally are at their home, their destination. They're set. The fulfillment of 40 years of promise, the fulfillment of 440 years of promise that was given originally from the seed and the promise of Abraham has finally come into fruition. Have you ever been blessed with something that you've been praying about a long time? Anybody? You've been praying about this thing for such a long time. You've been desiring something for such a long time. You've been hoping and grasping for such and such a long time. You've been praying and seeking God's face for such a long time. And when it finally comes through, you take a deep breath. Whew. But guess what? When there's a blessing, there comes a testing. It runs hand in hand. You don't get a blessing and go unscathed or go untouched. We're not the untouchables. Even the untouchables were touched. Do you know that Elliot Ness had many G-men and a lot of them were killed? The untouchables was a mythical illusion in the word only. The only person who technically was untouched was him, but even his family was touched. The only way we can be untouchable is in Jesus.
Amen.
And if you want to be untouchable, we have to be covered by his covenant, covered by his love, but obedient to his word.
Mm-hmm.
And even then, the Lord will allow Satan to nip at your heels because he will attack your family. He will attack your job. He may attack your health. But what is untouchable is your salvation.
Amen.
If he takes the body, he doesn't take the soul.
That's right.
What is untouchable is your destination.
Yeah.
If he takes your life, he gives you eternal life. What's untouchable is your place in eternity. Yeah. That's untouchable.
Yes.
If you don't believe it, you got to receive it. If you don't understand it, you got to read it.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know that that's untouchable.
Mm-hmm.
God gave humanity a unique gift. This gift has been extended to you and to me. This gift is like none other. This gift was first given to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, and is given to us each and every day and every moment of the day of our lives. Do you know what this gift is? The gift of the freedom of choice. We're the only created beings that get to choose. Without coercion, without manipulation, without threats or retaliation, you get to choose what you will do, when you will do it, and how you will do it. With our free will comes our own consequences. No matter how you slice it, no matter how you state it, no matter how we try to justify it, No matter how you present it, we have to own it. You know, back in the day, there was an African-American comedian who created this fictional character called Geraldine. And when he made poor choices, he used to say, well, the devil made me do it. And he figured that would just clear everything out. So he would walk around, the devil made me do it. It wasn't my fault. Some of us say the same thing. There's a hip-hop song artist, what he made a song using the wrong English. I'm going to say the wrong English now. He said, it ain't my fault. I got caught with this. It ain't my fault. I got in trouble. It's not my fault. My wife tells me all the time, we have to take responsibility. Well, guess what? Things happen. Life changes. Mankind began literally taking their lives in their own hands. Soon and very shortly, they forgot all the things that God had done. They began to realize, hey, I did this all by myself. I created this by myself. I built this land by myself. I grow these vineyards by myself. I am blessed by myself. Rationalization and human reason begin to supersede God's word. Numerous crimes, numerous atrocities occurred in diverse places throughout the land. God, foreseeing this, even before Moses died, said, you know what? We must establish cities of refuge. We must establish strongholds to protect those who do things that are not good. Sometimes good people do bad things. Sometimes good people get themselves in situations and circumstances that is hard to unravel. God forbid you ever take someone's life. There's many things you can come back from, but you can't give life. Therefore, God instructed Moses to have the tribe of Levi establish these cities. And what was so unique, in keeping with the spirit of God's word, God said these cities of refuge would not only be for the children of Israel, but also for the strangers within your gates. So you did not have to be a member of a tribe of the children of Israel. But if a stranger crossed your path and was in trouble, he had refuge. Amen? That means if you hadn't given your heart to Christ yet, it doesn't matter. You have refuge. If you haven't been down and bowed down and proclaimed God yet, it doesn't matter. You have refuge. Yes. But you got to get to the city. Amen. You got to get to the place of safety. Amen. You have to move from where you are and pick yourself up and get to that destination, to that safe place. Prior to America entering World War II, the Nazis rose to power in 1933 with the authority of a party called the Gestapo under the rulership of Adolf Hitler. Millions of Jews feared for their lives and made preparations to flee Germany. One such person was Anneliese Maria Frank. She was commonly known as Anne Frank. Anne Frank was born June 12, 1929. She was born in Frankfurt, Germany. She lived most of her life near a town or a city called Amsterdam. She lost her citizenship in 1941 and thus became stateless, a person without a country, a person without a home. The Frank family moved from Frankfurt, Germany in the early 1930s to Amsterdam. By 1940, they were trapped within the city, within an occupied city controlled by the Germans in the Netherlands. This relentless persecution of the Jews' population increased significantly. By July 1942, the family went into hiding within concealed rooms within a house that their father built. Amsterdam, through the underground, became known as the city of refuge. Became known as a place that if you get there, you're protected. You got to just get there. People will safely conceal you. You just got to get there. There is a hiding place. If you get there,
yes,
you'll be safe from the Avenger. But you got to get there. Amsterdam is known as the Venice of the North. You know why? Because of water. Tons of gondolas that flow through the city. Anne and her sister Margot was transported to a concentration camp because someone betrayed them. Someone very closely knit within their family betrayed them. History recalls that no one ever figured out who it was, but they figured out that this person must have been intermingled with the underground. And it took them a while to sort this person out, to sort out this group. The lone survivor, his name was Otto Frank. And he went back to his family home at the end of World War II. And he found memoirs of Anne Frank. Anne Frank was killed in February of 1945 at the Bergen-Belsen concentration camp. Less than 2 months before the liberation of this camp and its territories. 2 months. In 10th grade, I, along with some other high school students in Rochester, was selected as part of the Model United Nations. I had an opportunity to go to Europe through the United Nations. We went to see the World Court in The Hague. And we took a tour of the Anne Frank house. The curator of the house took us to this neighborhood, and he closed the house. We were in this house, about 12 or 13 of us. And he asked us, he said, I will give you an hour. I will give you 2 hours if you can find any hidden passageway, any hidden crawl space, any hidden hiding place within this house. I'm a very creative person, very inquisitive individual. I searched and prodded and touched everything I could in this house. Could not find a hiding place. Could not find a secret passageway. Could not find a place to secure myself or to hide. Could not find it. And the curator was an old man. He started chuckling. He said, do you guys give up? And as kids said, no, give us more time. Give us more time. He said, take your time. He went downstairs, and we were walking through the house. By the time the afternoon came, dinner was served at a restaurant across the street. He said, hey, guys, it's time for dinner before we take you back to your hotel. Everyone said, please, sir, show us where the hiding place is. And he said, the hiding place is in plain sight. We were in a room, and we turned. And this old man went and put his hand, I feel like hitting myself when I tell you. They were Jews. But guess what book they touched?
Bible.
The Bible. They touched the Bible on the shelf and moved this Bible. And this whole wall moved. They touched another book. It was a hymnal. And a bookcase open. They touched another book and was hiding places that little kids like the size of Michael and Yvette could just stand like this and shield themselves. What am I telling you? God can hide you in plain sight.
Amen.
If you get to the city of refuge.
Yes.
That whole experience, the guy took us on a tour of these streets. He said all these houses around here were built centuries before. And when they found that the Jews were being persecuted, they came and restored them and began to refurbish hiding places. What am I trying to tell you? God has 1,001 ways to protect you.
Amen.
1,001 ways to secure you. Nobody wants to get a phone call that a loved one has been hurt or killed. I can tell you on one hand how many times my aunt has ever called me, this one aunt who called me on Thursday. on one hand. Twice. The first time was with my uncle in 2007. That's when my father passed away. I'm not going to lie, for a moment, got a little nervous. But she quickly said, "Sally's okay." She said, "But I need you to do something for me. I need you to make a phone call. Because your cousin called me, and my aunts are up in their 80s. She said, "I'm not into all this texting and technology and Facebook." She said, "But my granddaughter came to the house and said, 'Aunt Sally is in the hospital.' Because my cousin texted me." She said, "Get a message to your grandmother to call Junior." I began to realize that our hiding place needs to first begin up here. We must have a concentrated mind to be committed to being committed. Despite the chaos we may find in our homes, despite the chaos we may have on our jobs, despite the chaos we may have in our marriage, despite the chaos we may have with our children, our hiding place must first start up here. Because if you think about it, you can conceive it. They built this house and these series of houses. I mean, I looked at them, I was like, I thought it was just in the movies. I'll be honest with you. I thought these old black and white movies with these secret passages, but they really exist, I'm going to tell you. Thousands and hundreds of thousands of people may have been saved from the Avenger. God wants to be your refuge and my refuge. Let's look up Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. Once you find it, please say amen. The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He will thrust out the enemy from before you and will say, "Destroy." Let's turn to 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 3. Please say amen when you have it. "The God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn and my salvation, my stronghold and my what? My refuge, my Savior, you save me from violence." Our last verse, or our next verse, will be Psalms chapter 71, verse 7. Psalms chapter 71. In verse 7. "I have become as a wanderer to many, but you are my refuge." The city of refuge are built. The Levites put everything in place. They're here now. And people are running to these strongholds because mankind has gone mad once again. People are being killed accidentally. People are being slain. But families take out a vengeance. And once people know that their family member has been hurt, they hunt you down. Now, I'm not sure how far they had to travel to get to these cities of refuge, but it could be a day's journey, it could be a 2-day journey, but they were fugitives. If they get caught according to the law, they could be killed. Trial, judgment, execution, no questions asked. A rogue nation. This is the promised land now. You understand me? Remember, the promised land was taken by force. Excuse me. The promised land was taken by faith with force. Okay? It was occupied territory. There was people on this land. So they had to be obedient to God and walk into this place with confidence, with surety, with faith, with obedience, and take the land. And I'm pretty sure some of the people who were defeated, probably living there, said to themselves, man, these people, I heard about them leaving Egypt. I heard about the Pharaoh drowning in the sea. But why did he come and mess with me? I've been living in this place a long time. This land was promised. And if God makes a promise to you, he will keep it.
Amen.
He will keep his promises. You may never see it at the beginning, but he will keep his promise. He has 1,001 ways to answer prayers. He will keep his promise. He will rescue you in a time of storm. He will keep his promise. You may not drown, but that doesn't mean you won't get wet. He will keep his promises. You may not get consumed in the fire. That doesn't mean that you will not get scorched. He will keep his promises.
Amen.
You have to believe when nobody else believes.
Yes.
You have to see and pierce the darkness by faith when no one else sees. You have to have hope and eternal hope. You have to have intestinal fortitude to the point where even if the closest person tells you it's impossible, it will happen because God keeps his promises.
Yes.
Chapter 35, verse 22 of Numbers. Chapter 35, verse 22 of Numbers. It says, however, if he pushes him suddenly without enmity and throws anything at him without lying in wait, or uses a stone by which a man could die, throwing it at him without seeing him so that he dies, while he was not his enemy or seeking his harm, then the congregation shall judge between the manslayer and the avenger of blood according to these judgments. So the congregation shall deliver the manslayer from the hand of the avenger of blood, and the congregation shall return him to the city of refuge from which he had fled. And he shall remain there until the death, have mercy, Lord Jesus, of the high priest, who was anointed with the holy oil. This city of refuge, this stronghold, this hiding place, was God the Father's way to tell Israel that you need a Savior. It was God's way to tell Israel that the promise of Genesis 3:15 is still in effect, that the seed of the woman shall crush the head of the serpent, that her seed will one day come forth to redeem all of mankind. This promise is in effect, and it will happen when I say it will happen. Our high priest is Jesus. Our high priest is Christ, our Savior himself. If you read this story very carefully, if the high priest dies, all is forgiven. No matter what your atrocity, no matter what your crime, no matter what situation you find yourself in, once the high priest dies, all is forgiven. Once the high priest gets there and listens to your story, even though you may have killed 1,000 people, all is forgiven. Once the high priest shows up and reveals himself, all is forgiven. As we listen to our appeal here this evening, or this afternoon rather, I'm going to ask you to listen to the Lord talk to you. Listen to the Lord appeal to you to rise to a higher place. Time is running out. When you have an earthquake in India and an earthquake in Japan, you have unrest all around the globe, you have financial markets just in turmoil all the time. And we become amazed to it because it's so frequent. We all need a hiding place. Your hiding place won't be your job. Your hiding place won't be your 401k. Your hiding place won't be your family name. Your hiding place will not be in any security we have here on earth. Our hiding place must be in the Word of Jesus.
Savior, blessed Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others thou art calling,
yes,
do not pass me by.
Each of us, you, 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 and me, we're all on death row. Each of us, the Avenger is waiting to take us out. Each of us is on death row waiting for execution, not for the sentence, because we're all guilty. But Paul writes in the New Testament that there's another city.
Yes.
There's another city that is being prepared for you and me. This is the city of ultimate refuge. This is a city that has been destined to be built from when man first fall in the Garden of Eden. This city is mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 10. He says, "For he looked for a city who has foundations, whose builder and maker is God." Yes. Can I get a witness?
Yes.
This city is the ultimate city. This city of refuge is being built because all of us are trying our best to make heaven our home, are we?
Yes.
All of us are trying our best because we're on death row. We're all running for our lives to this city of refuge.
Yes.
And if you need to get there, if you're trying your best to make it there, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as I read this. It says, "When the children of Israel entered the land of Canaan, God gave them this new illustration of his protecting care for his people. This illustration was the plan of salvation. But unfortunately, only a few began to recognize it. Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, there's nothing new under the sun. There's only a few of us who recognize the plan of salvation here today. Because our churches are empty in this 21st century. The word of God is given freely, but they're not running to the cities of refuge. They said if any person kills a person accidentally or commit any atrocities accidentally, it doesn't matter if he reaches the city. We all are like the thief on the cross. He may have never heard Jesus speak a word or preach a word, but he looked to his left and he says, please remember me in your kingdom when you come.
Yes.
So I'm going to ask you, as you stand here, and we're going to have a prayer for you to ask God to remember you no matter what situation you find yourself in, because each of us are on death row. And unless the high priest comes, the Avenger will take us out. Shall we bow our heads? Dear God, you are our everlasting hope. You're the only one to protect us from the Avenger. And we ask you just to be yourself. We just ask you to reveal yourselves in our lives and pierce the darkness of our circumstances, pierce the darkness of our calamities, pierce the darkness of whatever situation we may find ourselves in. And we lift up our hearts to you. We lift up our sin-stained hands to you, asking you to cover us with your righteousness so that you can make us whole. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
You may be-